Does it mean that the first three stages is still shaky? Like they can still fall back to beingness? Because Ajahn is saying when you reach Arahant, then it's no longer shakable. Does it mean the first three stages, they still...
Yes, the four stages of enlightenment, according to Buddhist psychology, philosophy. Stream entry is the first level. So that, and according to the Buddhist understanding, that once stream entry has been realized, then even though the mind might get lost in the world of things, that the strength of the insight is such that you can't get that lost. So that it said that a being that's realized stream entry has no more than seven lifetimes until full and complete enlightenment. Guaranteed. No more than seven lifetimes. And also it says the gates to the lower realms are closed. So one who's realized stream entry cannot be reborn in the animal realm, the ghost realm, or the hell realms. So it's a human realm or deva realm is the only possibilities. But a stream enterer can still get angry, can still be lustful, can still attach to opinions and be sentimental or anxious. But the mind will be able to notice those states and be aware of being lost in those states or caught in those states, and they can be let go of. Because the fundamental insight related to stream entry is impermanence. Yang kinchi samudaya damang sabandang nirodha damanti. Whatever is subject to arising is subject to cessation. So even if the mind is caught up in an angry feeling or an anxious feeling, then there's... As I was saying, close to the surface, there's a, wow, it's a strong one, but it is a changing condition. It can't be here forever. And there's a noticing of that. Oh, look, that angry feeling that was there, now it's completely gone. Look at that. And an hour ago, that was so convincing, and now I totally forgot about it. Look at that. So there's a conscious appreciation of the empty and insubstantial nature of feelings and thoughts and opinions and such like. The next level is called once return, Sakadagami, and so the aspects of sense desire and ill will are still there, but they're diminished. So the tendency to get drawn into aversion is not so extreme as for a stream enterer or a worldling, or into desire, into sense desire is much less, is much diminished. And it's called once return, so that a being of that who's reached that level will only return to the human realm, a maximum one more time. Otherwise, they're guaranteed to realize enlightenment in the higher realms. Then the next level, anagami, non-returner, which gets quite a lot of coverage in the suttas. The once returners don't get mentioned very much. Stream entry and non-returners and arahants get a lot of mention. So, the non-returner, the anagami, has completely let go of sense desire and ill will. But there can be subtle attachments to bright states of mind. So attachment to states of absorption that are based on form, rupa-raga, and attachment to bright states of mind, to absorptions based on formlessness, arupa-raga. So there's a fetters number 6 and 7. And then the last three... Asmimana is the conceit of identity. So even if the mind is let go of attachment to the body and the personality, like that's really clear that you're not really a woman, you're not really a human being, that's just convenient fictions, there can still be this feeling of a being who's making decisions, or there is someone here who's feeling that these memories don't belong to Maxine, but they're mine. I'm experiencing them. So that can almost... unexpressed sense of agency, of being the center of experience as an identity, or the source of decision-making. I choose, I feel, I think that. So it's called asmimana, the conceit of identity. So that's fetter number 8. So that's the subtle attachment to identity. And then number 9 is udacha, which means restlessness. And that doesn't mean being uncomfortable on the cushion. Or kind of waiting for the bell to ring. Like asmimana is a very subtle attachment. It's even if the mind is completely let go of all sense of identity, it can still be attached to time and location. There can be a belief that time is real, or that the mind is somewhere, So udaccha is that subtle belief that there's something more, there's a quality more real, more true over there, off in the future, some other place. So it's a subtle kind of obstacle, of fetta. So it's those attachments to time and location, seeing that the Dhamma is akaliko, is timeless. Time doesn't apply, and it's unlocated. Location doesn't apply. Three-dimensional space only relates to rupakanda. The mind is not anywhere, so awareness doesn't apply. So that fetta is to do with that recognition of there is nowhere. And so again, there's a few of the Buddha's teachings we get to in later chapters where that's addressed, and that Lumpu Cha would help to cultivate that insight by asking the question, if you can't go forward and you can't go back because you can't stand still, where do you go? So pointing to that unlocated nature. And then the last, the tenth of the ten fetters, is avijja, ignorance. It's the mind's attachment to any kind of structure or any kind of form. So all aspects of conceptualization, language, number, all the above. The mind that gives any substantiality or any intrinsic value or meaning to any structure or form of that kind. So that the capacity to get lost in the world of things gets less and less and less as those different levels of realization are accomplished. So the nature of an arahant is that, and that why the liberation is irreversible, unassailable, it's like the mind can't be fooled by any of those false substantialities or false values. It knows that there isn't anything there. And not having to remember that or do anything, it's just that's the basic fundamental attitude. The other states, even as an anagami, the anagamis can get deluded and get caught up in varieties of things. In one of the useful collections of teachings from the northern Buddhist world is called the Shurangama Sutra. And the last chapter, chapter 8, is called the 50 Skanda Demon States. And it's rather like in the Pali tradition, you have the list of defilements of insight, Vipassana Upakilesa. So each of the five khandhas has 10 sets of delusions associated with them. So the last 10 of that list of 50, it's very interesting. It's kind of the problems that anagamis face in meditation. And a lot of them revolve around conceit, like feeling like you understand everything, or you've got all the answers to everything, or that when you have a crowd of people all expressing devotion and admiration for you, yes, there's something that says, I deserve this, or, this is delicious. So it kind of describes those states that can arise for anagamis. With each of those states, the final line is, if they know it is a state, it is a good state. If they don't know it's a state, they are bound to fall. So if you get drunk on your own knowledge, or that you're dependent on other people's approval or admiration, all those kind of things, then if that's something the mind believes in, then there's getting lost in that. There's giving false substantiality to all of that.